Take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 9 down through verse 20. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and hell. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Our subject today, as we continue to study the emotional aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the hands of the Lord Jesus. As we study our Lord, we are made to see the many and unique facets our Lord has which makes him different and above every other individual. We should appreciate Christ more than ever the more we know about him. Our endeavor should be to learn as much as possible about Christ, and today we shall look at the hands of our Lord and see what they mean as far as we are concerned. Our lesson falls into these categories. First of all, the meaning of the term hands. Secondly, the marvelous facets of Christ's hands, and then the practical lesson, if we have time. We want you to follow along your Bible so you get quiet there on your radio and you listen as for eternity. Many of you out there do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and my hope is that something is being said and will be said that the Lord will take and use for his glory and your salvation. Now, as we look at the term hands for just a moment, we find there is a reference. The reference of hands is a reference to a certain time or event. Now, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Take your Bibles now and turn back to Matthew chapter 3, if you will, and look with me at verse 2, where the Word of God says these things. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, where it speaks about hands. Listen to it, if you will. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, we read, In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now this is the event of time. The hand refers to a reference of certain time or an event. Now turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 26 and look at me at verse 18 and then verse 45 and 46 where we read these words. Matthew chapter 26 verse 18. And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. Now verse 45 and verse 46. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Now here you have the reference to the term hands, which is a reference to a certain time or event. John the Baptist came preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about his betrayal being at hand. Now, the word hand means a certain time or event. Now, there's a second meaning to it. It also has a reference to certain positions or relationships. Again, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. And if you can follow along in your Bibles, I want you to do so because I go rapidly due to the brevity of time. In 1 Kings chapter 2, and look with me at verse 19, where we read these words. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to spake unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her, and bowed himself unto her, and sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. Now, the right hand is a place of honor and power. It has a reference, the word hand has a reference to certain positions or relationships. And the right hand is a place of honor and power. Again, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 45. And we find in Psalm chapter 45 and verse 9, the Word of God says these things for our learning. Listen to it. Psalm chapter 45 and verse 9. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. So you see, the right hand is a place of power and honor and fellowship. Now in Matthew chapter 25, and again with me, turn with me if you will to verse 31, down through verse 34, we find, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Now the right hand is referenced to certain positions and relationships, and the right hand is a place of honor and power. Then the right hand also is given in token of friendship and love. Again, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 2, if you will, and look with me at the Word of God. Galatians chapter 2, and we find verse 9, the Scripture says these things for our learning. Listen to it. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcisions. Now the right hand is a place of honor and power. The right hand is given in token of friendship and love. And the right hand also is illustrative of rebellion, liberality, and of selfishness. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter 20. And look at me at verse 21. In 2 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 21, the Word of God brings this out for our learning. Listen to it. Verse 21 of 2 Samuel 20. The matter is not so, but a man among Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Now, the right hand is a place of power and honor. The right hand is given in token of friendship and love. It is illustrative. The hand also is illustrative of rebellion, liberality, and of selfishness. Then, the hand is also a place of protection and support. And the hand, again, is a place of accusation and an imposition of oath. It's a place of blessing and ordaining, and it's a transferring of guilt in the Old Testament. Now, let me show you that, if I may. Leviticus, chapter 1, and look at me at verse 4, and you'll see the hand there is speaking of, it's illustrative of the transferring of guilt in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4, we read, And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, we've looked at the meaning of the term hand for just a moment or two. Now, in the time that's left, I want to share with you, if I may, the marvelous facets of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, now, we read in our text in Revelation chapter 1 that he held in his right hand seven stars, and the seven stars have to do with the churches, the seven churches, the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and we find they are in the right hand of the Lord God of heaven. Now, the marvelous facets of Christ's hands are these, and I'm going to give you quickly four of them, or five of them, if I have the time. First of all, they are the hands of creation and dominion. In Hebrews chapter 1, and look at verse 10, if you will. Here you have the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ set forth. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thy hands. Every atom, every spire of grass, every star, every aspect of creation speaks of a deity who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by his hands, has formed the earth on which we are living. His hands are the hands of creation and dominion. Again, turn to Psalm chapter 33 for just a moment, if you will, and look with me at verses 6 down through verse 10. Psalm chapter 33, and I hope you can follow along in your Bible as we go this rapidly. In Psalm chapter 33, we find beginning with verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heat. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the earth or the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast." And the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ are the hands of creation and dominion. Then the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ are also the hands of sustenance and fellowship. Again, Hebrews chapter 1. And look with me at verse 3, and listen to what the Word of God says. "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our hands, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." Here you have the hands of sustenance. The Lord Jesus Christ holds all things together. And we find very clearly, nothing can happen without Him knowing about it. In Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, we find they are the hands also of fellowship. And Jesus said here to the angel of the church of Ephesus, "These things, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." And we find here, "Nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Repent, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." The hands of the Lord Jesus Christ are the hands of creation and dominion. They are the hands of sustenance and fellowship. Then they are also, and follow me now, the hands of mercy and grace to the sinner. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 8, if you will. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 22, down through verse 26, where the Word of God brings this out for our learning. The book of Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Listen to what it says, if you will. Here you have the hands of Christ being the hands of mercy and grace to the sinner. "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town." Now what do we have here? The marvelous hands of mercy and grace to the sinner, exemplified in the healing of the blind man. But then listen carefully. The hands of mercy and grace to the sinner are experienced by every saved individual. Have you experienced this? If you don't know what I'm talking about, let me refer you, if I may, to John chapter 9 and look with me at verse 25, where we read, "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." And beloved, when God saves a sinner, he opens a blinded sinner's eyes and causes that sinner to see Christ as he is, the glorified, absolute, sovereign Son of the living God, who is our Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer, and before whom all every knee will bow one day, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My hope is that you have experienced the hands of mercy and grace to you as they've been given you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we find the hands of Christ are also hands of memorial and testimony. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Isaiah chapter 49 and look with me at this passage of Scripture and marvel at it, if you will. In Isaiah chapter 49, beginning with verse 13, we read, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." Here you have the marvelous reality that the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ are hands of memorial and testimony. All through eternity, my radio friend, you and I who are believers, we will sit and marvel in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as we see those nail-scarred hands that were scarred for us. And they are hands of memorial because He has engraven us upon the hands of Himself when He died for us on the cross of Calvary. Yes, my Lord has hands of memorial and testimony. And that testimony will be forever and ever in heaven. And we find also, last of all, the hands of Christ are either hands of blessing or of consignment to eternal perdition. Again, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 3, if you will, and look with me at verses 11 through 12. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 through 12, we read, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here you have the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will either be hands of blessing to you when he saves you, or else they will be hands of consignment to eternal perdition when he sends you to hell. This is brought out very clearly in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 through 46, where we read, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, as we brought you a short message on the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me ask you a question. What does this mean to you, my radio friend? Are the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ precious to you? They are, if you know Him as your Lord and your Savior. The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and extend to you the hand of mercy and compassion, and then place His hands upon you and save you with an everlasting salvation, and you are graven upon the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ as a testimony forever in heaven. But the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ are either involved in your redemption or else in your damnation. And my hope is that they are not involved in your damnation. One of these days, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But at that time, it will be too late. When that takes place and you're there, the hands of Christ will be against you. But forever. But my friend, right now the hands of Christ are extended and telling you to come. Oh, may you come to Christ at this hour is my prayer. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.